Today we begin a brand new study in the book of Proverbs. So if you have a Bible, turn around or turn your Bible to Proverbs chapter 1. And you know, it's always better if you can follow along in your own Bible. You get much more out of the Word if you can follow along in the Scripture itself. So let's begin in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel." The word proverb means a wise saying. It means an insightful saying. It refers to a wise saying. It refers to something that will make your life better if you follow it. Verse 2. "That men may know wisdom and instruction, understand words of insight." Wisdom is the ability to handle the moment-by-moment affairs of your life in a way that is pleasing to God. And God wants you to be an expert at godly living. God wants you to be skillful at making good choices. And the book of Proverbs will give you that skill. Look at verse 3. It says, "Receive instruction in wise dealing, righteousness, justice, and equity." A wise life is a life that is lived with high moral standards. If a person is immoral, or a person is unfair, then that person is unwise in the eyes of God. It doesn't matter how many degrees you have behind your name. You are unwise in the eyes of God if you are immoral and if you are unfair in some way. Verse 4. "That prudence may be given to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth." God makes reference to the simple here. And the simple does not refer to somebody who is all mentally challenged, okay? It's not talking about IQ. It's somebody who is gullible. Simple is talking about somebody who doesn't have much experience and is therefore very easily influenced. And one of the great things about the book of Proverbs is that it will give you experience without having to live the years that normally precede experience. It's a shortcut to experience. Verse 5, "The wise man also may hear an increase in learning, and the man of understanding acquire skill." And that's the thing. God reminds us that everyone, including the wise person, including somebody who has a good level of wisdom and a good level of discernment and experience, everybody needs to continue to grow in wisdom. We all need to read the book of Proverbs because God has something that He can teach us with regards to wisdom, no matter how wise we may be. The book of Proverbs is for everyone. Verse 6, "To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles." God will give you insight to understand the wise words and the wise actions of people who have their act together if you study the book of Proverbs. Verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You cannot possibly grow in wisdom or in your knowledge of spiritual things if you don't put God first in your life. That is where it all begins. You must worship, you must obey, and you must fear God. You must have a good, healthy, reverential respect for God. Once you determine to do that, well, then your mind becomes a blackboard that God can start writing all sorts of wisdom on, and He can teach you once that foundation is laid. Look at 7 again. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." And the word for fools here means a crude person. It means a rude person. It means somebody with a barnyard-type mentality, barnyard humor, just very crude. God calls them a fool. They're the type of person that refuse to listen to anybody, including God. They despise wisdom and they despise discipline. A fool in the eyes of God is somebody who is arrogant and ignorant at the same time, thinking that they can do things their way and they can have it their way. And God says they're fools. Verse 8, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction and reject not your mother's teaching. And of course, this assumes that mom and dad are God-fearing people who give their children biblical instruction. Unfortunately, many children today are going to have to unlearn the materialistic, ungodly attitudes of their parents before they can start thinking like God. Verse 9. For they are a fair garland for your head and pendants for your neck. If you listen to biblical instruction, and if biblical instruction comes from your parents, that's wonderful. If you listen to the biblical, godly instruction of your parents, it'll make you an attractive person. That's what verse 9 is talking about. It's like a garland. It's like a wreath, a decoration for you. It'll make you more attractive. I'm probably talking to a single Christian someplace at this point, and maybe you are, you know, you're wishing you could be married, and you want to be married. But I can tell you this, the only way you are going to attract a godly Christian to you is for you to be a godly Christian yourself. That's what you need to do. You will be attractive to that kind of person if that's the kind of person that you are, but you need to put God first. Verse 10, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If you're in a situation, in other words, where some bad people are trying to talk you into doing something that is wrong, don't do it. No matter how much pressure they put on you, do not consent. Do not go along with it. Verse 11. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us wantonly ambush the innocent. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods, and we shall fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot among us. We will have one purse. Oh, you know, they'll make their evil plans seem to be so attractive to you. Then you'll get ahead. You know, you'll get something that you won't even have to work for. Something that will entice you or try to entice you. And, you know, it's unbelievable that there are people like this in the world. But there are. As unbelievable as it seems, there are people who would kill someone simply to take their money. They have no regard for the sacredness of human life. To them, the commandment, thou shalt not kill, is just a foolish rule standing in the way of them getting what they want, and they will disregard it in a flash, and they will try to get you to do it too. Don't you take the bait, no matter what they offer you. Verse 15, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths. And I'll tell you what, the only sure way, the best way to avoid committing the sin that people like this commit is to stay away from them. I mean, stay away from them completely. Get away from them and stay away from them. That's how you will avoid committing their sin. The road to happiness begins by making a clean break from people like this. Cutting them up out of your life. You don't need to hang around with people like that. They'll drag you down. 16. It says, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird. But these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of all who will get gain by violence. It takes away the life of its possessors. God says, you know, I've made birds to be pretty smart. And he has, not just birds, but all animals. You know, you go out hunting. If you're a hunter, you know how smart animals are. And it takes effort to outsmart them if you're going to get some game. Animals, birds, they're smart. Smart enough to avoid a trap when they see it. But God says these bums that I'm talking about here in these verses, these people who have disregarded my commandments and have no use for me at all, God says they're not even worthy to be called bird brains because they're not even as smart as a bird. A bird sees a trap and avoids it. These people, they ignore the warnings of God. They ignore the traps of sin. They just keep right on going. And notice verse 15, or verse 19. So such are the ways of all who get gain by violence. It takes away the life of its possessor. And here's the huge lesson for us right here. They plan on hurting others, but in the end, they end up hurting themselves. And the big lesson for us is this. Things gotten through sinful means will never be enjoyed by those who sin in order to get them. Verse 20. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market, she raises her voice. On the top of the walls, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks. Wisdom is seen here as a very wise person, as a very caring person. And she calls out loud in carefully planned places, not just haphazardly, but in carefully planned places where there are many people. Wisdom calls out. Her goal is to get as many people as possible to hear her message so that they will follow God and not mess up their lives. Wisdom is seen calling out to people, listen to me. Don't throw your life away. Verse 22. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? And again, the simple ones do not refer to somebody who is mentally challenged. They refer to somebody who is naive, somebody who is gullible, somebody who is impressionable, someone who is open to just about anything. They're unstable because they are open to all sorts of influences. And God says, how long are you going to be that simple? How long are you going to be that way? When are you going to wake up and not be so gullible? Notice verse 22 again. It says, how long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing? Scoffers. They're not like the simple. They're not gullible. They're not lacking any experience. Their problem is not ignorance. The scoffers are people who just simply disregard wise counsel. Nothing is sacred to these people. They don't care about anything. They don't take anything, even God's word, seriously. To them, life is a joke. They laugh at it. They think they're bigger than the consequences of their wrong choices. So verse 22 says, how long will scoffers delight in their scoffing? How long will fools hate knowledge? Fools hate knowledge. You want a definition of a fool? They are those who hate knowledge. Fools are people, according to God, who are conceited and arrogant. No one can tell them anything. They hate knowledge. They don't want to learn. They're unteachable. They're very opinionated. And they're also very, very ignorant, which is a horrible combination, by the way. To be opinionated, unteachable, and ignorant is a terrible combination. Because not only are you going to lead yourself astray, you're probably going to lead many other people astray also. God calls them fools. 23. Give heed to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make my words known to you. Other translations say, I will pour out my spirit to you. But the idea here behind the word spirit in those translations, it refers especially to God's thoughts and to his mind. God says, if you repent, I'll make my thoughts known to you. Repentance is absolutely essential. If you want to know the mind of God, it's absolutely essential. If you want to understand the Word of God and hear the Lord speak to your heart, you must have that penitent attitude. Verse 24. Because I have called, and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand, and no one has heeded. And you know, that is one of the greatest tragedies in the world. I think one of the greatest tragedies in life is a wasted opportunity that stems from rejecting God's wise word. And it always happens. I mean, it's like God presents an opportunity right there on your doorstep to be blessed if you will just follow his word. And so many people waste that opportunity to be blessed. They disregard the word of God. And then instead of enjoying good, they suffer bad. I don't think there's a greater example of this than the Israelites, the city of Jerusalem. When Jesus was on the verge of being crucified, as he entered Jerusalem, he started crying. He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times I would have gathered you to myself like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not. And then he said, now your house is left to you desolate. You blew it. Wasted opportunities to be blessed. Wasted opportunities that come from disregarding the wise wisdom of God's word. Verse 24 and 25. It says, because I have called and you refused to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, and you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof. God, through the wisdom of His Word and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, reproves us, rebukes us. In other words, gives us constructive criticism whenever we need it. God does it because He cares about us. God does it because He wants us to have joy, and He wants us to have a productive and fruitful life. And God is grieved when people do not pay attention to Him. 26. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when panic strikes you. See, if a person continues to reject the counsel of wisdom, the counsel of God's Word, He will eventually bring destruction and ruin upon himself. And then it will be wisdom's turn to laugh. You see, sinful man can laugh at God's wisdom. Sinful man can laugh at God's Word if he wants to. But God's wisdom always gets the final laugh. 27. When panic strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Terror, calamity, and distress result from disregarding the Word of God. Payday will arrive. You just can't beat the system. Nobody can. And it's arrogant to think that you can. Verse 28. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. And you know, what God is saying is, there comes a point where it's too late to repent. Or a lot of times there's forgiveness. As long as you're alive, you can repent and receive forgiveness. But you cannot simply eliminate the consequences of your bad choices. Even though you're forgiven, you can't eliminate the consequences. And, you know, once trouble hits because a person rejects God's Word, then it's too late to do anything about it. When you shoot yourself in the foot with a pistol, it's too late to say, I don't want pain. Should have thought of that earlier. Verse 29. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. You know, choosing to fear God is part of your free will. You can choose to fear God and live for Him, or you can choose to live in sin. Don't let anybody ever tell you that you don't have a choice. There's no such thing as compulsive behavior in the sense of some outside source forcing you to make a choice beyond your free will. That's a lie. That's a lie of the psychologists. You have a free will. Joshua said, choose you this day who you will serve. God says right here, they did not choose the fear of the Lord. And scoffers who think that they're too tough to pay attention to God, who say that Jesus stuff is just for women and children, well, they're going to suffer for their pride someday. 29. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. And these people, they have no respect for God. They despise God's reproof. No respect for God at all. They laugh at the scriptures that condemn how they talk. They laugh at the scriptures that condemn what they do. They despise the Word of God. They have no room for God in their lives. Look at verse 31. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and be sated with their own devices. And so they wanted to do things their way. They scoffed at the scriptures. God says, fine. You've got a free will. You can choose to do that if you want to. Only if you do that, remember, you're going to have to live with the results. People like that will suffer, and it'll be entirely their fault. Nobody but them to blame. Verse 32. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacence of fools destroys them. The simple are destroyed by their turning away. You're free to make your choices because you do have a free will. You are free to choose what you want. Choose God or the devil, choose right or wrong, and that's totally up to you. But you are not free to choose the consequence of your choice. They will follow your choice. If you make the godly choice, the right choice, that will be followed by good consequences in the long run. If you make ungodly choices, it's going to be followed by evil choices. You need to decide, you know, what consequences you want to live with before you make the choice. Because once you make your choice, you have to live with the consequences. verse 33. But he who listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of evil. He who listens to God will dwell secure. Now, everybody has trouble in this life. But if you walk with God, and if you respect His wisdom, enough to obey Him at least, then you won't have to put up with the suffering and the shame that those who reject God's wisdom will have to endure. Lord God, thank you for your word. Help us to apply it to our lives today. We pray it, we ask it, in Jesus' name.